The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Oh, my goodness. The madness just keeps going. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
Now, before I get to all these top stories and big leads, I have to say from your newscast, Ursula, is there anything more heartbreaking than thinking about the parents of this 19-year-old kid from Bellevue? They send him off to Wazoo, and they get the call that their son has died from an alcohol incident.
I cannot think of any worse heartbreak than losing a child.
No, I don't think there is a more heartbreaking thing in human existence than that. And, you know, it's like for everybody, it's but for the grace of God, because every kid is susceptible to, you know, peer pressure and to a culture. And I feel bad because, you know, having one kid who went through the Greek system at Wazoo.
And my boys are in fraternities.
Yeah, all three of my girls were in sororities. And it was an incredibly positive force in all of their lives. And just the fact that this is going to play into the stereotypes of people who think that it's all just, you know, drunken, you know, animal house stuff. And it's not. I mean, there's so many aspects of Greek life that are positive and enriching and teach you skills that are incredibly valuable later on in life. So I hate that it feeds into that stereotype. It feeds into the WSU stereotype, which has been earned in a lot of ways.
Well, but
at WSU.
I will say this. Okay, so I had a son who went to UCLA, and he was in the Greek system. There's a drinking culture there. There's a party culture there. There's a party culture at Boulder. There's one everywhere.
Pepperdine's a dry campus. There's a drinking culture at Pepperdine.
Correct.
You know, there's a drinking culture in college. You're on your own for the first time. It's
right.
the literally the forbidden fruit. And it's just, oh, gosh,
the one thing that I heard in the interview that we did with the police commander over there was that perhaps people can learn that you should call when you think there's already a problem. Because when the police arrived, the other fraternity members were performing CPR.
Well, not only that, but I heard, and this is where peer pressure comes in, I've heard that all social activities at every frat and sorority have been suspended
and,
there.
Well, and they said that was voluntary from the Greek system.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
I'm fine.
Because they already know that it's going to come down.
Right. It's fine that they have that policy, but can you imagine the peer pressure? Because every other frat and sorority is furious at that. And so, you know, maybe there's a hesitation to pick up the phone. There's no answer. And I guess that's the frustrating part, because kids are going to do stupid things, and there is a culture at all schools, and it should not bolster the stereotype of the Greek system. It does bolster the stereotype of WSC. Did you hear about USC, though? I just saw this morning. The ninth student this year has died at USC.
And many of them are suicides.
Right. Yeah.
And that also speaks to just the pressures that students put on themselves and the unanswered call for need for mental health at that time in their lives. And
yes.
I will tell you that the counseling services at every college, packed. To try to get in to see somebody,
right.
Packed. And you have to wait.
And to me, it also speaks to how our society has evolved to a way where our kids are horribly ill-prepared to handle real life after 17 years of being told that reality is quite different from what it actually is. That's a whole other subject. But anyway, it just struck me, once again, the sadness, and that's what I really want to focus on.
Yes.
Prayers for that family
for sure. And
for all the loved ones. It's horribly sad, horribly sad. Okay. Now, on to the big lead. Last night, as Ursula also mentioned in her newscast, Tacoma has just passed one of the stupidest laws imaginable. It is a gun and ammo tax. And here's what I just truly do not understand. Tacoma said they were going to model it after Seattle's gun and ammo tax. Okay. What's happened in Seattle? The revenues from this gun and ammo tax are practically non-existent because every gun seller has left Seattle. And rightly so. All the gun sellers will leave Tacoma, most likely. They have a huge manufacturer down there. He might have to leave the city, according to their CEO. But what's happened in Seattle since we passed our gun tax? Well, let's see. There are almost no revenues from the gun tax, and murders are way up. In other words, it hasn't done a darn thing. And down in Tacoma, I'm going to replay a soundbite from 5 days ago. Brandi Cruz on Q13 News. She talked to the mayor of Tacoma, Victoria Woodards, about why this gun and ammo tax.
While this tax won't stop gun violence, it will help pay for the damage that guns cause. It's not to take away anybody's Second Amendment right, but it's to help pay for some of the causes of what guns do to a community.
Okay. Again, there are going to be almost no revenues from this tax because Seattle has seen all the sales dry up. So it's not going to pay for anything. All it is almost all liberalism is we're going to do something that feels good. Does it actually accomplish anything? No, but it feels good. Is it going to change anything? It makes me feel like I'm doing something. Which is, by the way, at the very heart of the leftism. We will sell things on an emotional basis, even if there is absolutely no facts backing it up. And then when Brandi asked the mayor why responsible gun owners should pay for criminals who use guns, I don't know the mayor of Tacoma. I do not know her intelligence beyond this one answer, but this was an unbelievably stupid answer as to why responsible gun owners should pay for criminals.
What do you say to that gun owner?
I say that's like saying my car's in the driveway and I only drive it 2 days a week and not 7 days a week. But every time I go to the gas station, I still have to pay the tax when I fill it up.
Does that analogy work in any way? And even Brandi was laughing when she asked her follow-up.
How is that comparable?
Well, it's comparable in that it's like saying I'm a responsible driver. I don't drive as much, but I still have to pay the same amount of tax as someone else because I drive on the roads. I get that they're responsible gun owners, and I appreciate that. We want more responsible gun owners. But it doesn't negate the fact that sometimes everyone has to help chip in for the problem that they cause.
And that's what I'm saying is the argument they would make is I'm not causing that problem.
Right, right. You're not. But someone else who owns a gun could be, or people getting guns is causing the problem.
Again, let's pause. Let's analyze that. So you're not causing any problems as a legal, responsible gun owner, but you have to pay for gang members and criminals who buy guns hot off the street, don't pay any tax on that purchase. They buy stolen guns from other criminals, and the responsible gun owners who have decided to be their own first line of defense, they got to pay for the criminals and the gang members. That is the heart of leftism, of stupidity, of let's do something that feels good, that accomplishes absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you see how they think it's...
It's like when we implement landlord-tenant laws, right? It's like, well, why do I have to have this law? I'm a really good landlord, right? It's like... Unfortunately, you don't get to choose who's responsible and who's not, or who takes better care of their tenants or not. When you're looking at an issue, sometimes even the most innocent people get affected by it.
Can you believe this? You're comparing something that is a protected constitutional right to driving a car and landlord-tenant laws. I mean, the disconnect between what she's saying and common sense is staggering. It's just absolutely staggering. And so that was 5 days ago. So now let's come up to last night. There were people there who were adamantly against this gun tax. King Five was down there.
There's that great disconnect between what you are hoping to do, which is to decrease gun violence by criminals, and what this gun and ammunition tax will actually do, which is to add a burden to law-abiding citizens while infringing on our constitutional rights.
Exactly right. That speaker's exactly right. So we're going to punish the law-abiding, responsible gun owners to pay for the sins of the criminals and the gang members. We're going to punish the most responsible among us to subsidize the least responsible. There were people who spoke for the tax.
This tax is the cost of 5 grande lattes. 5. The King County monies for the tax go to research, not eliminating gun violence. What we need in this town is sustained funding, and this is what this bill will do.
Oh, good grief. Why does everything with the left come down to lattes? How is that how they make everything palatable to the people? I don't drink a lot. Nicole, how much does a latte cost? How much does a latte cost?
Oh, probably $5.
$5? Really?
Yeah.
So if you drink a latte a day, it's $1,800 a year?
Yeah. That's a scary thought.
Holy crap. I had no idea they were that expensive. So, okay, so yeah, so keep that in mind. When everybody who wants to push through another new tax, they always say, it's the cost of a latte. Apparently a latte is $1,800 a year if you drink one a day. Or you drink 3 a week, 15 times 50 weeks, $650 a year. Whatever it is, it's real money. But they always, and the reason is because the left, they have to prey on stupidity because their ideas cannot stand up in the scrutiny of the real world. You can't say, yeah, it's $650 a year if you drink 3 lattes a week. But you can say, oh, it's just a latte a day. And the stupid will go, it's just $5. Okay. The stupid buy stuff like that. And this guy, Dan, we talked to him last week from Mary's Guns, the co-owner. He, Cairo 7, was at the meeting as well. And he said,
this would literally put me out of business in less than 6 months. There's no way I could survive this ordinance. If people were charged $25 every time they voted, they would have a fit. If people were charged $25 every time they assembled, they would have a fit. Why are some rights more equal than others?
What a great point. What an absolutely fantastic point. Because it feels good. So murders won't change. Gun violence won't change. Gang membership will not change, but companies will go out of business and some law-abiding people will have to give some of their money to the government because of this. What a perfect example of leftism at work. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
And then you have King County. Okay, I did Pierce County, I did King. I tried to just work county by county today. So Dan Satterberg has reinforced his belief that heroin should be legal in King County. It's been legal for a long, long time. Now, not officially, not on the books. But Dan Satterberg came on my show at least a year ago and said he was going to decriminalize personal possession of every single drug. Heroin, meth, cocaine, you name it. And ComoNews.com, they have a great piece up right now that Satterberg is, and a bunch of other very far left prosecutors from big cities in America, they are working together to make drugs legal.
Rather than take you to jail, they would bring you instead in front of a group they called the Dissuasion Commission,
where the Commission of Medical Professionals offers treatment if the person wants it. There's no jail.
So Portugal did not wholesale decriminalized drugs. They medicalized their response to personal use. But if you sell, you're going to go to prison.
Since the decriminalization, opioid deaths have dropped 80%. Drug-related crime has dropped as well. So does...
Let me jump in on that. Drug-related crime has dropped 80%. Well, when you make drugs legal, of course, drug-related crime drops 80%. But here's the problem with Dan Satterberg's approach and all these other far left, many backed by George Soros. That's not hyperbole. George Soros's latest effort to destroy America from within has been to throw millions of dollars into DA and prosecutor elections, trying to elect pro-crime, pro-drug, pro-destroy community prosecutors. And here's the problem with what Dan Satterberg and all these stats say. They say, well, it's better for the heroin addict to go to a hospital than to go to jail. Understood. That's better for the heroin addict. But look at Seattle. Walk around Seattle. Look at the humanity that is strewn about on tarps and on cardboard boxes. Is it better for the community? Look at the fact that we have the highest property crime rate of any major city in the United States. Is it better for the homeowners? Is it better for the taxpaying citizen who gets their car window smashed, even if they don't have anything visible, just so the heroin addict can rifle through their center console or their glove box? When the approach of government is nothing but what's best for the heroin addict, knowing that all of this is the worst for the homeowners, the workers, the taxpayers, the citizens, the contributing members of society. To borrow a phrase from the President of the United States, I was talking to a young woman in her 20s who works in downtown Seattle, and she said, it's a asshole. And it is. But when everything you view is through the eyes of the criminal, the heroin addict, and it ignores the reality of feces on the streets and back doors kicked in and car windows smashed and bicycles that are stolen from storage lockers at apartment buildings, it's the wrong approach. So when you turn things over to the far left, as they've done with the gun tax in Tacoma, as they've done with drugs in King County, it becomes, as the woman I talked to said, an asshole. Hat tip to the Perez. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
I got a lot of other news I have to get to. I'm going to just continue with an extended big lead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. I want to follow up on what I was just talking about. This new push by King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg to legalize heroin, decriminalize it, which has been the case for over a year in our region, in King County. Snohomish County has been doing the same thing, and as a result, we have seen homeless heroin addicts from around the country come screaming up to our region because they know this is the path of least resistance. If you are just tuning in, I was talking about how he said, well, it's better for the heroin addicts if we get a medical help instead of jail. Yes, agreed that that's better for the heroin addicts. But nowhere in the equation is what's best for the hardworking taxpaying citizens who own homes, cars, rent apartments, have their stuff stolen on a regular basis. And it is undeniable that the reality of the streets of Seattle and Everett and all cities around here, the reality is that this region has gone dramatically downhill. And there are a lot of victims. A lot of victims. You know, New York City, a homeless guy a couple of weeks ago. Just a 7-year-old was walking down the street with his mom, picked up this little kid and just picked him up, threw him down to the ground. Little kid in critical condition because of the homeless taking over the streets there. I mean, I'll tell you, I know it's lunchtime. A homeless guy down in Hollywood defecated into a bucket and then threw that on a woman trying to get in her car. The woman said, paramedics who came to treat me said there was so much of it on me, it looked like the man was saving it up for a month. And gets dumped on a woman just trying to get in her car. She was rushed to the hospital after this grotesque attack because she had to be treated for infectious diseases caused by contact with feces. And she's going to have to be retested every 3 months. And she said it was all over inside her car. I'll stop. But this is the reality of the streets when you turn them over to drug addicts. I've been telling you about in San Francisco, the guy they just elected DA. I told you about this guy last week. Chesa Boudin, and, you know, none of us are responsible for the actions of our parents. So maybe it's just a coincidence, but Chesa Boudin's parents were members of the terrorist organization, the Weather Underground. And his mom and his dad, when he was a toddler, they dropped him off at a babysitter, and then the mom and dad participated in the robbery of an armed car. 3 people died. Chesa Boudin's father is in prison for life, supposedly. The mother, Kathy Boudin, she got paroled in 2003 after convincing parole board members that she acted out of white guilt. And that's why she was a terrorist. So this guy runs for DA. But let's talk about what happened between when his parents were notorious domestic terrorists and this guy getting elected the DA. And I'm not making any of this up. He got adopted by Weatherman Underground colleagues Bill Ayers and Bernadine Doan. So he gets adopted by domestic terrorists. Then Chesa Boudin went to Venezuela to work for dictator Hugo Chavez's administration. And he said when he was running for DA, he said that his goal was to make it easier for drug abusers, illegals, gangsters, thieves. He said he wants to subsidize universal legal representation for illegals facing deportation. Now understand, this is in San Francisco where a young woman was shot walking with her parents down by Fisherman's Wharf when an illegal picked up a gun and killed her. And this is the trend line in Seattle and beyond. It is that we are enabling the absolute worst behavior because it's best for the drug addicts. And so when I play you that ComoNews.com piece on Dan Satterberg, and all he's talking about is it's better for the heroin addict. And it is. But is it better for our community? When you walk around and when you see these, and now that we've got the most radical city council in our city's history, they vow to end homeless encampment sweeps. Well, what kind of activity takes place in Seattle homeless encampments? Murders, rape of children, heroin addicts acting as pimps, turning out 13, 14-year-old girls. And now we have a city council dedicated to leaving those camps alone, these hellholes. Calcutta has come to the streets of our region. Conditions that no human being should have to endure. And you have a city council that says we're going to encourage as many homeless encampments. You have a prosecutor who says we're going to decriminalize using drugs. That's a pretty toxic combo that's going on here. In Denver, another city that has gone so far to the left, this guy, he's a business owner, Jawed Bezier, who told the CBS station in Denver about the crimes that are happening outside of his business.
There's food, trash, drug deals.
Jawed Bezier has seen it all right in front of his business.
In the alley, we get, you know, the defecation, the drug needles, prostitution.
Last week, we talked to Ballard, bar owner, who had a homeless, mentally ill person pull a knife on her. And the same thing's happening in big cities all around the country.
One of my employees was sitting in his car. They smashed in his window and tried to stab him.
And so this guy, he says, we don't have the training to clean up needles and feces. We don't have the biohazard suits. And so he said, we can't keep doing this.
Every day we're dealing with garbage, needles, feces.
He's cleaned it up several times, so was an employee. But they've stopped. He says it's a health hazard.
It's not something that we're equipped to deal with. It's not something we should have to deal with.
He thinks the city should clean it up.
If the city's not going to enforce laws against trespassing or camping or public defecation and just make me bear the cost of these problems, that's just not right.
So in an effort, whether it's Seattle or Everett or anywhere to come, if it's an effort to aid and abet the criminal addicts and you're telling the business owners that they got to clean it up, that's insanity. This guy's got to fight the city in court because the city says, no, you got to clean up the feces outside your business.
The city says if it's on his property, it's his responsibility. A city spokesperson says he can get additional tickets for each day it's not cleaned up.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to go to court and do my best to argue that the city's treatment of this is unfair and that to some degree this is a public crime issue and a public health issue, and the city is the organization who's responsible for that.
Now, the cities do not care about the business owners, the taxpayers, the job creators. They just want to make life as easy as possible for the criminals and the addicts. And that is the wrong approach. We should try to help them. Help them turn around their lives, give them the medical treatment if they so desire. But to say we're going to make this the easiest place in America here in King County, it's insanity. Look around you. All right, lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. All the networks have broken away from regular programming today so that they can broadcast leftist porn. The impeachment hearings are going on. And as I've said a million times, I know Trump ain't perfect, but what they're talking about, I've been watching some of the hearings this way, it's simply not rising to the level of a high crime and misdemeanor. This is so ridiculous. And again, I said the same thing about the Clinton impeachment, but what Clinton did was far, far worse. He perjured himself. He sodomized an intern, all of that. But I was against that impeachment too. So save it with, you're just a Trump apologist. Now, I don't like it when an opposing party, the Republicans with Clinton, the Democrats with Trump, I don't like it when the opposing party tries to overturn an election. And you got a chance. You're going to have a say in less than 12 months on if you want to change the president. And this is absolutely ridiculous, what's going on with these hearings. So the president, for his part, he released a video statement on the opening day of the impeachment hearings to America.
What's going on now is the single greatest scam in the history of American politics.
The Democrats want to take away your guns. They want to take away your health care. They want to take away your vote. They want to take away your freedom. They want to take away your judges. They want to take away everything. We can never let this happen. We're fighting to drain the swamp, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And you see why we have to do it, because our country is at stake like never before. It's all very simple. They're trying to stop me because I'm fighting for you, and I'll never let that happen.
At the impeachment hearing today, Devin Nunes talked about the Democrats' history of trying to tie Trump to Russia.
Forget about Democrats on this committee falsely claiming they had more than circumstantial evidence of collusion between President Trump and Russians. We should forget about them reading fabrications of Trump-Russia collusion from the Steele dossier into the congressional record. We should also forget about them trying to obtain nude pictures of Trump from Russian pranksters who pretended to be Ukrainian officials. We should forget about them leaking a false story to CNN while he was still testifying to our committee claiming that Donald Trump Jr. was colluding with WikiLeaks. And forget about countless other deceptions, large and small, that make them the last people on earth with the credibility to hurl more preposterous accusations at their political opponents. And yet now, here we are. We're supposed to take these people at face value when they trot out a new batch of allegations. But anyone familiar with the Democrats' scorched earth war against President Trump would not be surprised to see all the typical signs that this is a carefully orchestrated media smear campaign.
Yeah, media colluding with one political party to overturn an American election. That's what this is.
I've noted before, the Democrats have a long habit of accusing Republicans of offenses they themselves are committing. Let's recall, for years they accused the Trump campaign of colluding with Russia when they themselves were colluding with Russia by funding and spreading the Steele dossier, which relied on Russian sources. And now they accuse President Trump of malfeasance in Ukraine when they themselves are culpable. The Democrats cooperated in Ukraine election, and they defend Hunter Biden's securing of a lavishly paid position with a corrupt Ukrainian company, all while his father served as vice president.
Pretty good takedown by Devin Nunes. But the impeachment hearing has wrapped up for today. The porn for the left must end until tomorrow. But it's just silliness. It's more silliness from ridiculous people. Okay, Fast 15 is coming up next.